Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim here with Ed and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Good to be home and be back. And I was in Israel with a lot of our supporters last week and a half, and I'm watching on television here. There's a joint press conference going on with President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
As we speak.
And both of them got matching red ties. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Yes. Then in the background is Pompeo and Pence, and they've got blue ties.
I think red stands out. I don't think that Pence and Pompeo want to exactly steal the thunder, as it were, from the president and the prime minister. So, I bet they have advisors that tell
them about
this
stuff.
I'm sure they do.
By the way, when we were in Israel, we were able to drive by the American Embassy in Jerusalem, which was...
So I wanted to ask you, because there's been a lot of tension in Israel, and
really?
As you guys... Yeah, you probably wouldn't have known. As you guys were on your way over, we heard about rockets being fired at Tel Aviv, where you guys were going to land, and they were caught by... One was caught by the Iron Dome, the other fell harmlessly somewhere. There's been another missile launched that hit a village north of Tel Aviv, and caused some injuries.
That's a more serious issue.
So I'm wondering, my question to you was, did you guys feel that or sense that when you were over there?
No, we went everywhere we were supposed to go and didn't feel unsafe at any time. Israel is a small country, and they do have enemies all around them, that Gaza Strip down there, that is, that somebody will pay the price. I feel sorry for the innocent women and children there, basically, who are trapped in that Gaza Strip. It's a small area of land with a lot of the Palestinians in there, but Israel has to do that to protect themselves. But we didn't feel unsafe in any way. Now, a rocket coming into the middle of Israel from Gaza, somebody in Gaza fired that, and they will be found out, and they will be
dealt with.
But, Israel's had a pretty good relationship with Egypt, the last 20 years I'm talking about, with with Saudi Arabia.
Jordan.
With Jordan, certainly, a good relationship.
Right.
Syria, they have little or no relationship because Syria doesn't mess with Israel because they got their own problems, right?
Right.
We've seen that.
Civil war.
And Lebanon borders the north of Israel, and Israel's had a pretty good relationship there, except that the Hezbollah, which is another one of the organizations that seeks to destroy Israel, they have a lot of power up in the northern part.
The thing I always want to think about when I think about Israel is a couple things. Israel had at one point trucks with the United States and the United, I don't think UN, but of aid going, wanting to come into the Gaza Strip from the north, and Hamas was blockading it and was not letting it in. So they are, Hamas, the terrorist group, which is arguably behind all these missiles, is the one that is really causing all of this. I mean, all of it, but I mean, they are hindering help coming from. The other thing is, Israel has Arab and Palestinian citizens. They allow them to work. They allow them in their government. It's not like they are shut out. They just are keeping distance from this terrorist-controlled territory.
Now Israel does, I don't know if they prevent all shipping going into the Gaza Strip.
They check it.
But they do check it to make sure there's not missiles and rockets being smuggled in. So
sometimes they get the Hamas gets by with it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, what you got there is, and I mentioned, it's a sad situation, quite frankly, because the Hamas group and before them the Palestinian Liberation, was it Authority or PLO? Yasser Arafat.
Yeah,
it was authority.
Palestinian Liberation Organization.
Authority.
They take money that is given. Well, I don't know about Hamas. Didn't get any money.
It was the PLO. Was the organization?
Wasn't the PLA?
No.
Of course, it was the PLO.
The government. The government is the Palestinian
right.
Authority, not Palestinian
PA,
Liberation.
You're absolutely right.
So.
That's all
anyway,
right.
they basically rule the Hamas does like a mob, like the mob does. So you may have a lot of regular Palestinian people who are for peace with Israel, but they can't say it publicly. You know what I'm saying? Because if they say it publicly, they get whacked.
Right.
Okay? So you keep... So, and the evidence of this is, you remember when Yasser Arafat died and they found all that money in the Swiss bank account?
Billions.
Well, what he was doing was he was taking money given to him by the U.S. and others, which was intended to make life better for the Palestinian people, in the West Bank in particular, by building roads and hospitals and businesses and things like that to improve their lives. Well, that money was in essence stolen by their own leadership of their people.
Those billions could have gone to the suffering right. Palestinians that everyone points to.
So it's like some of these people that race bait in America. They know it pays for them to keep things stirred up. You know what I'm saying? If things are ever solved, then they got no way to make money. It's kind of like Al Gore.
Yes.
You know, it pays for him to keep saying we're all going to burn up in 10 years or 15 years, because if he's got to have that or he's got nothing.
Right.
You know, his whole credibility is built on that. So anyway, we'll see. But it is good to see our president, Donald Trump, meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel. He's got an election coming up.
Yeah, he's
sometime
in trouble
soon, and he's got his own problems over there internally.
The news out of this today is that he is, because of the missile that went over to the town north of Tel Aviv, he's cutting his U.S. trip short. He was going to go to AIPAC and address them, but now he will not. He's going
really?
Home. Yeah, he's going home.
It's a big deal then.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, the Bible says we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right?
Yes.
So. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
I wanted to look a little bit at the way the press has been handling the Mueller investigation and some of the crazy things we've been seeing, if you guys haven't covered that already.
Oh, they've handled it very well.
Haven't they?
I agree.
Yeah.
5 stars to all these. Just a big thumbs up to Rachel Maddow. Shout out to Chris Matthews.
You played the Kelly Conway one where she talked about the press getting... Well, you might have covered this then. Tell me, because I was busy researching something else that I was going to talk about today. But let me just play you a little bit of the bait and switch you're getting from the media. This is... you'll hear a couple clips, a montage from before the Mueller report was... put out, and then a couple after.
Yeah.
This is cut 9.
The bombshell.
This bombshell.
Drop the bombshell.
Bombshell accusation.
Bombshell accusation.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
If this BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
And now let's look at all the investigations that are still out there. There were 17 of them. Robert Mueller's was just one of them. There's one into WikiLeaks. There's Middle Eastern influence. There's Paul Manafort stuff. There's the Trump timeline. It's on and on and on. It's 17 investigations.
And we know, of course, that the Democrats in Congress are also doing their own investigations.
There are 47 different investigations out there.
You know, the Trump Inauguration Committee is being investigated.
There are other Trump-related investigations still open in other parts of the Justice Department.
It's like they changed their narrative mid-sentence. They are just, I mean, that was before and after.
What were you playing there, a montage of?
Of media. Before, they were saying that this is a bombshell. There's all kinds of collusion. It's going to be impeachable offenses. There's all this stuff. And then as soon as the report comes out, they start saying, well, yeah, look at all the other investigations they got. Look, you know, you got New York, you've got the House is going to do investigations. They completely discount now Mueller, while it was a bombshell 24 hours earlier. My thinking is that if Democrats are looking for just anything to pin on the president from any direction, it doesn't matter. They're not looking for justice. They're looking for vengeance.
I actually think this helps President Trump if they keep this up. I really do. I think the Democrats would do better just to drop this whole Russian investigation thing and start challenging President Trump on his policies.
To her credit, I will say, just so people will know that I'm not a
You're
hater.
You're fair-minded.
I'm not a Nancy Pelosi hater. To her credit, this is what she's been saying. She's been saying, unless there is evidence of a clear crime, Democrats ought to drop this and talk about the issues. Now, that's what Nancy Pelosi's been saying. I'm not sure anyone in the media is listening to her, because that's just
because
too measured.
Because the far left in her party, not that she isn't politically, but she's more moderate in terms of her approach to politics than,
right,
say, Cortez or some of these others. They're like, impeach because he's Donald Trump.
Right.
And she's saying, no, we shouldn't do that because we don't have the evidence, or it hurts us politically. We need to move on to challenging Trump's policies, not
right, and promoting our own.
Promoting
because
our own.
So is this what they're going to be talking about for the next 2 years,
right,
leading up to 2020? They're going to talk about this investigation and that investigation. It's going to sound like they don't have a message of their own,
right,
except kill Trump.
Just one more note from this morning. I couldn't bring sound in because it happened. I just found out about it before I got here. But Savannah Guthrie was talking to Kellyanne Conway this morning on Good Morning America on ABC. And this is what the exchange sounded like. I'm going to read you quotes. Guthrie says, for the last 2 years, the president has absolutely eviscerated Bob Mueller, a lifelong public servant, a former Marine, a registered Republican, I might add. Did Robert Mueller deserve better from the president than this kind of language and behavior? And then she says, does he owe Robert Mueller an apology for this kind of rhetoric? To which Sanders says, you've got to be kidding. The president's rhetoric matches, literally, the media and Democrats have called on the president an agent of foreign government, and she defends the president. Guthrie is looking for the president to apologize
to Robert
Mueller after 2.5 years of a fake investigation.
I'm trying to remember back during this whole thing. I don't know, not that President Trump holds back on,
right,
on
anything,
on anything, but I'm trying to think back. I think most of his criticisms have been against the investigation itself. I don't know that he's personalized this against Robert Mueller that much. I don't remember him. Maybe he has.
Well, according to Guthrie, she's saying that Trump called him a national disgrace, discredited a prosecutor gone rogue who oversaw a gang of thugs. I don't know if she's accurately about that, but he did, like, you to your point. I think he was more criticizing the process. Mueller getting with 17 attorneys on his whatever number, and most of them were Democrats and Hillary supporters. I mean, he has a right to criticize and say, I'm not sure that – I don't think this is a fair-minded approach.
You've got 4 years, eight at the outside, to affect a huge amount of change for this country. The president, knowing he had nothing to do with Russian collusion, was
right,
very frustrated that you're taking the first 2 years of,
right,
that and completely destroying and undermining the effort.
Also why I got so mad at
Absolutely.
Jeff
I'd be mad, too.
It's also why I got so mad at Jeff Sessions.
Right.
When Jeff Sessions recused himself as Attorney General for overseeing the Mueller investigation. Isn't that why he got mad at him, basically?
Well, because he recused himself, then the Mueller investigation came into being.
They got Mueller because Jeff Sessions didn't.
Anyway, you know what? I would say if anybody had motivation to go after President Trump, it would be Robert Mueller, because if what's Savannah, is that her name?
Savannah Guthrie.
Savannah Guthrie saying is that, you know, that President Trump's hurling personal insults at Mueller all along the way. So you think Mueller would probably go, well, all right then.
Well, maybe he did.
We'll ramp it up then.
Maybe he did go after him, but he didn't find anything.
Yeah.
So. It's also worth noting, and you might have already mentioned this last half hour, but the whole time the public, what Trump was saying was, let the investigation go. I'm okay with it. Knowing himself, knowing that he wasn't going to be found guilty if it was a fair investigation, he said, I want to, you know, we'll let the process play itself out. So,
you know what? Another thing that's interesting, I'm looking at a picture on Drudge, that Robert Mueller and his wife attended church yesterday at the church, which is one block away from the White House, the Church of the President.
St. John's Episcopal?
Yes, which is where also we had a prayer meeting. There was a prayer meeting on Inauguration Day where the President and the First Lady was there, and Vice President Pence and the Second Lady were in attendance that I was invited to, was able to go to. With a couple hundred people, that was a memorable experience. But that's the same church that Robert Mueller and his wife went to yesterday. And so the picture is of Robert Mueller and his wife, and the White House is in the background. It's kind of like, I don't know, it just seems like me ironic. I don't know, maybe Robert Mueller goes to church there on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know, what are we now? This is March 2019. So when will we know the campaign between all the Democrats now is going to go on for the next year, right?
Year and a half, yeah.
How many of them are there now that are running, that have announced they're running? Isn't there like 10 or 12?
I think there's 12. A couple of them that have announced.
Gillibrand announced over the weekend.
She's a senator from where?
New York.
Okay.
Senator, yes.
So now we got Beto O'Rourke. Is that his name?
Robert Francis O'Rourke, if you don't like Beto, but yes, Beto is what he's
where
called.
Where did Beto come from? Is that like a family shortened name?
A nickname that he got as a kid.
Well, it was his name is Robert, and so Roberto would be the Spanish equivalent, and then Beto, I think, is a nickname of
Roberto.
Like calling someone Robbie or something.
So he's like one of the, quote, rising stars of the Democrat Party.
He is.
Right? He's the one that took on Ted Cruz and didn't lose by much out in Texas.
He's also,
he's a man of destiny, Steve. He's a man of destiny.
He seems to want to be portrayed as reasonable. He never doesn't shout and yell, but let me tell you, he has his biases. I'm gonna bring you one. He was a city councilor on the city council in El Paso, Texas, at one point. El Paso was arguing or was debating whether or not to give. This is probably around 2014, whether or not to give its city employees same-sex marriage benefits. And everybody seemed to be in favor of it. And one lone Catholic priest came to the city council meeting to put up a token, or what he hoped was a persuasive, but an argument to say, listen, we really can't, we should think about this. And this is how Beto O'Rourke responded to this Catholic priest who was trying to put up a defense of traditional, normal marriage.
No church or creed, religion or faith will govern the actions of city government. But as someone who was baptized and raised in the Catholic faith, I do feel an obligation to point out some of the moral failings of the church that you represent, especially as you try to take the moral high ground in this debate. Luckily, I don't need your approval to move forward. I want to know why this, for you, has become the burning issue of its day, and how you can stand here with a straight face and say that this is a priority for the church, when the Pope, our current Pope, was in Africa telling the people in that country who are suffering a holocaust of HIV and AIDS infection not to use condoms. The proven widespread abuse of children within the care of the Catholic Church. I wonder where your outspokenness is on those issues when all we're trying to do at the city is to treat all of our employees equally.
The just being, if since you're Catholic and you have these this baggage with you, you have no right to talk about marriage.
Well, he's conflating the issues here. That's Beto O'Rourke talking to a Catholic priest.
That was Beto O'Rourke.
Who's at the? How many years ago was this?
I think it was 2014. So
yeah, it was the year before the Supreme Court ruled on homosexual marriage, legalizing it.
Yeah.
So what's your point in bringing this up, Steve?
Well, I just wanted to show that it's not just the flamethrowers like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who we've heard use religion as a cudgel against people. That this is within Beto too. He claims to be Catholic, but he really has an animus towards it. To me, it's not relevant if you're that what the church has done this other thing. If you're not talking about that,
I know. But let's be honest: the Catholic Church does have a major public relations issue problem with the scandal that's taken place because it involves so many priests. Right?
It has been horrific,
and it I'm talking about the child molestation issue.
Right, but now I understand they do have it is a public relations nightmare, and it is for a long time going to drain away a lot of their moral authority when they speak out.
But it was 2011, by the way. When
that was 2011.
Yeah.
But I will say this: it's opportunistic for people like Beto O'Rourke to use that to say anything else the church says about moral issues is therefore irrelevant because of this over here. That's very convenient for them. Because here's the reason why I say it's convenient and it's opportunistic. If none of this had happened in terms of the priest abuse scandal, Beto O'Rourke would still have said to this priest, "We don't want to hear your religious and moral teachings. He's got nothing to do because we don't
church of state, as he put it at the very beginning."
So to me, it's just now if you're trying to win a debate, that's what you do. You want to impugn the in court too. You want to impugn the integrity of the person who's your opponent, and so he did what any debater would do or any attorney would do. But his beliefs aren't different because of the priest abuse scandal.
What does it mean to either one of you that he claims to be a Catholic or at least raised in the Catholic Church, and yet like Nancy Pelosi and other Catholics, has diametrically opposed views to the Catholic Church? If you can't trust the man to be honest with his religion, can you trust him to be honest as a politician?
Well, of course, I'm not a Catholic, but I would say the Catholic Church is clear on their teachings about abortion and about marriage. Mm-hmm. And how you can be in favor of be a pro-choice Catholic or in favor of same-sex marriage.
Well, Protestants do the same thing.
I know.
Protestants ignore the Bible and ignore historic Christian teaching.
But in the Catholic Church, it's pretty clear you must subscribe to the teachings of the church or you're not a good Catholic. And in some cases, you can be expelled.
Well, and denied communion.
We would have exactly the same kind of reaction to a Protestant. He's not really a Christian. If he's willing to throw it away that easily, then what is his faith worth?
Right.
Okay. Thank you for joining us today, everybody, on the program. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.